the continuation of week 5.
So today is about changing our perspective. Funny, we've kind of been talking about that, huh?
Yes.
We're going to introduce you, if you're not already familiar with, something called The Work, and it's by Byron Katie. If you are not familiar with Byron Katie's writings or seminars in philosophy, it's a great, great way to turn around any kind of resistance or any type of contrast in your life and turn it around so that you have no charge on it. Her process is really easy. It's something that you can do out loud, in the moment. No one has to know. It's something that I refer to all the time because I feel like it's this laser gun that demolishes contrast, especially things we've made up about other people. Very powerful.
You can check more of that out at her website. She's very generous in the things that she gives away, the forms and the worksheets and information, and it's thework.org. Also, if you are going to get any of her materials, that we highly recommend that you get the actual CDs of her live in the seminars. You get it through that in a way you can't when you're just reading the book, in my humble opinion.
Yes, I would agree. What we're going to do is we're going to take somebody through it to show you what we're talking about. You all have a Judge Your Neighbor worksheet in your playbook, and you can also download these at her website. This is one of these things that even though you can do it in your head and you can do the process all in your mind, you're going to get much more benefit first when you're using the worksheets to write it all down, and then later you can use the process of inquiry that she gives you to do just whenever you feel the need to do. So who wants to go through the process? This should be somebody who there's something or somebody in your life that is frustrating you right now.
We're all enlightened beings on this
call. This is Julie. Oh, I can try.
Oh. Okay, Julie.
So
who
what
is it?
Julie.
No, not who are you?
Oh, sorry.
Frustrating you.
It needs to be a who?
Or is it, okay, what is it then?
What's frustrating me is we still can't fill classes, and I'm really frustrated about students. I don't know, it just feels like students don't want to pay for classes, or there's a complaint about it being too expensive, and
okay.
So I have that kind of frustration.
So you're kind of mad at potential?
Yeah.
Potential students. Okay. So let's just pretend you're not an enlightened being for a moment, or you are, and you're giving yourself full permission to be pissy about it.
Okay, good.
What would
sometimes it's a good place to be.
Now's your time if you want to be petty, evil, dark. What emotions would you use to describe how you're feeling?
Resentful.
Resentful? Anything else?
Like anger.
You're angry at them.
Angry at them.
You're angry at them because?
Because I have given so much of my own money to this business, and if people who don't want to pay make me very angry because I've put out so much of my own life into this. I made this for people, don't you know? Why aren't they appreciative of what I did for them?
You ungrateful wretches.
That's right. I gave up everything important for them to have this.
Okay, so the potential clients don't want to pay for something that you've given so much to.
Yes.
And you're resentful and angry.
Yes.
Okay. So if you could change them, you know, magic wand, clink, what would you want them to do? How would you want them to change?
I'd want them to see the value in the classes and pay whatever we offer, we say, to be a part of it and not let the money be the problem.
Want your potential clients to see the value.
See the value, yeah.
And then if they saw the value, would you want them to take some sort of action?
Yeah, to register and take the classes.
Register now.
Register now.
Not in the future, since we don't do that anymore, and we're all about the present. Okay. So let's talk about how we know what's best, and you definitely know what's best for them. So what is it that they should or shouldn't do? What kind of advice would you give them? These potential clients, you should or shouldn't, what?
Should take advantage.
See what's there and take advantage. Anything else you want them to do or not do? They should and shouldn't do?
No, it's not going to always be there.
Ah, okay. So they almost feel like they have an opportunity here. Okay, so they should take the opportunity. One of the reasons why it's so great as you're doing this process to write it down, right now you're just talking, and then when you see it on paper, sometimes it takes on a whole different perspective just looking at it.
Uh-huh.
So do you need anything from them? Like, in order for you to be happy, your potential clients need to what?
Need to sign up in abundance.
You need to sign up in abundance.
Okay. Hand over your money.
Hand over the money and everything will be just fine.
That's right.
Okay. Okay. So what do you think about these potential clients who've been holding out on their money and not seeing the value?
They're selfish.
They're selfish. What else?
Ungrateful.
Ungrateful.
Lazy.
Lazy.
Just like with the feeling of withholding, you know, just nasty holding back.
You or them?
Them.
They're
holding out.
Yeah, little misers. Holding out. Okay. So if you were to make the statement about your potential clients, what you don't ever want to experience with them again, I don't ever want to what?
Don't ever want to beg them.
Great. So you never want to beg them again.
Mm-hmm.
What if you could never beg them anymore? How would that feel? Like, even if you tried, you couldn't beg.
Oh, that would be great. If it just showed up and there was no begging involved, that would be great. Mm.
Just out of curiosity, what if they still didn't show up and you stopped begging?
Yeah.
How would it feel to stop begging?
Oh, it would feel great.
Yeah.
That would feel great.
That is a choice, by the way.
Yeah.
So anytime you want to jump off the begging train.
Right.
Okay, so any possibilities opening up for you? Still irritated? Are you still feeling resentful?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not in love with them yet then?
No.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to do the actual work, and this is called inquiry. So
okay.
The first question, we're going to apply it to the very first statement that you were talking about in the beginning when you said the potential students don't want to pay what you've given so much to.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Is that true? That they don't want to pay what you've given so much to?
Yes. I could lie and say no, but yes, I've given so much to this.
So can you absolutely know it's true?
No, you can't know.
Okay.
That's true. That's right. No.
And how do you think that thought, that they don't want to pay what you've given so much to?
How does that feel when you think it?
It's like upsetting.
It's upsetting. Yeah. So who would you be without that thought? You could never think that thought again, no matter how much you tried. No gremlin could get through the barrier. You could never think the thought again that potential students don't want to pay what you've given so much to.
The first thought is peace.
Mm. And how does peace feel?
Oh, great. And I have to be peaceful.
So why don't you take a deep breath in? Take another deep breath in and imagine that you're pulling peace and that feeling into every limb in your body.
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel?
Good.
Okay. Now comes the most important part, and this is where you get to change your perspective if you so choose to do.
Yes.
And it's called the turnaround. And the turnaround is we're going to go back to the original statement, potential student.
Uh-huh.
Don't want to pay what you've given so much to.
Right.
And what we're going to do is change maybe some nouns or some adjectives in this sentence and see which one kerplunks for you. You might find five or six different ways of saying this. And what we're doing here is we're actually giving you your prescription to peace.
I see.
Okay, and this will make more sense to all of you who don't understand what I'm talking about in a moment. So, potential clients don't want to pay what you've given so much to.
Right.
What words can we change in here?
What about this as a turnaround? Julie doesn't want to pay for what someone else has given so much to.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I do want to do that, and that's, yeah, well, okay. Yeah.
So what does that mean? I mean, what are you seeing in that statement?
What I saw in that statement is that there are people that I have to honor as a result. If I can actually open up a channel for this to happen, it allows for more flow to other people. And while I shut that off, it doesn't allow the flow to happen for other people. So any other expenses and things that I pay other people don't happen.
Could your potential students be in the same situation as you?
Possibly.
If you're doing it, and that's what you think they're doing.
Right.
Are you a selfish, ungrateful, lazy, withholding, nasty, holding out kind of person?
I don't think so. I feel very generous.
Okay. But notice that that's what you called them.
Ah. Okay.
The thing that came up was you have these feelings about them, all the things that you were emoting.
Right.
And here's what where the work comes in, is then when you can turn it around on yourself, have I ever been that way about somebody else's stuff? And you say, oh, my gosh, maybe I have.
Yeah.
And what if they were saying the same thing about you, and you just said, well, no, I'm not that way. I'm not mean and miserly and all of those things. Well, guess what? What if your folks that you're looking at aren't really that way either?
Right. I see.
Yeah.
You've also made up a story, and I'm not saying it's not true, but what we're doing is we're trying to poke holes in the statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and so looking at this in part, part of your resentment is you feel like you've given so much,
right,
to the programs and to the whole studio, to everything, you know,
right,
your labor of love. What if you haven't given so much?
Yeah, it needs a lot of resistance.
And I'm going to say that is actually where your power is going to lie, is when you uncover that.
Yeah.
And you start playing with, is it really true that I've given so much?
Right.
How can you know?
Right.
And you think you have, and that's what's creating the resentment.
Right.
When you're using the word selfish, I'm thinking when you're saying it about other people that you're meaning it in a not positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And you might want to look there for yourself, too.
Right.
Okay, well, I've given so much, and it's time for them to give back now.
Right.
So I would start playing with some turnarounds in here and seeing where there's truth. Because really, what's so wonderful about this process is it brings all the responsibility back to you, whether you're mad at somebody else or
right,
the situation. It's not them. It's in your thinking. And where you can start poking holes in whatever you've made up is where your solution's going to be for yourself. It's your antidote.
Right. I guess I thought what came up in that was realizing that somehow or another I've done this for other people. Like I'm not getting present. That somehow or another I've lost sight of what this is for me.
Remember in the beginning, and even now when you're doing certain projects, you're doing them because it's an inspired creative process and it feels good for you.
Right, and so it doesn't have that anymore. And that's where all this is coming from, I think.
We never do anything for anybody else.
Right.
I promise you all, you are all selfish, myself included, and I wouldn't do anything for anybody if I didn't get something out of it.
Right.
Otherwise, it's not useful to do it anyway.
Right.
So, for instance, if I'm giving a gift to somebody, like I've actually wrapped a present and I'm giving it to them, I'm not giving it to them because I'm such a generous, loving woman, although I might be those things. I'm giving it to them because it gives me great joy to see them happy.
Right.
Even when I don't want to do something, I'm getting something out of it. You know, like when you show up and you do something because you promised, you're
right,
doing it so you can look good or you can keep to your word or keep your commitment. You're getting something out of it. So what'd you learn?
That was good what you shared about the doing it for your, being clear that you're doing it because it's something that brings you joy. And I think that's what's missing for me, is that somehow or another I've got lost, that there's something here that's not bringing me joy. And so the resentment is, look, I'm giving up my joy for you, and that's not true. It's not true.
They also
I've given up my joy for this.
Yes.
So I need to find my joy. Yeah.
The also big bummer about the way that you were thinking about it was, until these people pay or see the value that you created for them, means you're going to be bummed out. You're a victim to their choices if you're waiting for them to sign up for your classes.
Right, right.
You've kind of just handed over all of your power, and it's like, okay, guys, I'm miserable, and I'm going to keep being miserable until you all sign up.
Right.
So, including you, Julie, does anybody have any questions about the process that we just took Julie through? Or the turnaround? All make sense? Thank you, Julie, by the way, for playing with me.
No problem. It was good. Thank you.
Pretty soon what's going to happen is you're going to go straight to these four inquiries, which is, one, is it true? Whatever the statement is that you've decided is true, ask yourself, is that true? Can you absolutely know that it's true? That one just about busts my chops every single time. How do you react when you think that thought? And most of the time it's a negative reaction, because otherwise we wouldn't be using it in the inquiry. Who would you be without that thought? And then the turnaround. And you can, sometimes you'll just use one question. You could just say, is that really true? Like, so-and-so doesn't care about me. And then you think, is that really true? Well, no, it's not really true. They do care about me. And you may just end it right there. So as you can see, it's a very useful process when you come against any kind of contrast, especially in regards or relationships to other people.
Remember that, especially on the turnaround, to turn it around and ask, have you ever done that? That's one of the easiest ways to turn around. Sometimes I have a hard time with the turnarounds. I get caught up in the he's and the pronouns and all that. But if I can put my place, have I ever done that myself? Usually it'll put me right in my place, because I have.
I spent many, many months using this information, and I was using inquiry on everything. Sometimes it's fun to just use it on things that you don't even have a resistance to, to create some learning or create bigger, better results. Frank, you're going to have a great time using this with what we were talking about earlier. You know, is it really true that I need to make my numbers? And then you go through the process. So our request to you this week is to use the work and actually write it down. I'm using the worksheets in here, and do it on one person or one situation or many. The more times you do it, the more you will know yourself, and the more you will like start just busting up any kind of lies, any kind of rules that you may not even know were percolating under the surface, or even sometimes these things are running us behind the scenes. You would not believe how much they are running the show versus your inner being. If you need any help, or if you get stuck on the turnaround part, just let us know via email and we can throw out some suggestions.
Any questions about how this might apply to the rest of you or anything that you've got going on?
I have a question, Mrs. Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
One of you said that you actually worked with somebody for a year.
Yes.
Working with this process, because I went to like a evening demonstration sort of workshop of hers, and then have listened to the CDs, and it's pretty challenging for me to be able to kind of get through it without like sort of turning back on myself. Maybe it'll be different with using some of the Abraham stuff. I don't know. That might actually.
When you say turning on yourself, like beating yourself up, is that what you mean?
Yeah, like it's been a while since I've worked with it, but I know it's really powerful, but it was really, really challenging to see my way out of what I was creating myself.
Well, if you look at it from a way of you're just noticing, not to go, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I did that, but you're noticing to say, oh, well, if I'm creating this and I sourced this into my life, then that means I also have the ability to change it. I would look at it as I'm taking back power versus I'm blaming myself. I personally get stoked once I realize, oh, wait a minute, I can change everything. I'm going to take all the power back. I know that I created it, because we create everything that we source in our life. So what? Okay, cool, now I'm ready to get off. So I think that you'll be in a much different place, especially when you've just been loving on yourself and you know you're just like, hey, I'm just looking for the way to create something different here. Practice it over this week. Like, I would do one worksheet a day on anything. It can be something that's emotional charge right now, or maybe something just nagging that you never really let go of. And it may not be a certain incident. It may be a way of you being, or a relationship that never got handled. And then you can use us as the sounding board if anything comes up where you're like, hey, I'm doing that thing I used to do to myself, and get coaching from us. I think you'll be in a much different place.
Oh.
It's an opportunity versus a reason to get pissy with yourself. We all do it, by the way. I mean, we're all co-creators, so we're always attracting whatever's coming into our life. And we all think wacky thoughts, and we all have blamed somebody or something for our misery at one time or another, and it's just a default. We're not doing it on purpose.
Well, just notice also, Alan, if in fact it's feeling hard when you were doing the work before, it means you haven't released that resistance, which is what this is about. It's like, in other words, you're still trying to be right. You want to be right.
Yeah.
You can do this on a person or a situation, and your play work for the week is to do a worksheet on something, even if it's not a big charge, because I'm telling you, I've had the most fabulous awarenesses out of the smallest stuff just by doing a worksheet on it. It's amazing what you can get to that lurks beneath the surface. One by one, I'd make a list. What I did when I first started using this, I made a list of everything that upset me in my life. Or anybody that I still, you know, when I look back in my life, I think, I can't believe that. Or something wasn't going my way. And I did the work on everything. I had a whole journal on this, and it was just profound.
You will get to the point where something will upset you, and you can immediately go to the four questions. Like, I could be really, really upset, let's say, with Robin, and I could say, he is absolutely the biggest jerk on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately I could go, well, is that true? Well, sometimes he is. Can you absolutely know that's true? Well, oh, okay, he's not always. Then how do you react when you think that thought? Well, when I think that thought, I get upset, I want to kill him. And how would I be without that thought? Well, I'd be happy, I'd be free, I'd remember that I love this man. And so it just immediately, sometimes just one of the questions will absolutely dissolve it. And then if you go back and you put yourself in it, Eva, you are absolutely the jerk of a planet. Well, is that true? Well, no, I'm not. Maybe sometimes, but not. So it really helps you to just dissipate that. And I end up laughing. I was like, oh, my God. How, you know, where was I coming from? What was I thinking?
I think it's really good to do this if you feel like exposing yourself and you have someone that you really trust, to do it out loud with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really fabulous because that creates a lot more permission to laugh at yourself. You know, is that really true? That one always gets me. It's like, well, most of the time, no. Most of the time, it's our ego just wanting to be right and stay justified in what we're mad about. And that when we're doing that, we're just keeping ourselves in constant vibration with it. It's like, why would you want to be right about something that doesn't feel good? I mean, logically, you don't. You don't want to be right about something that doesn't feel good. You want to be right about things that do feel good. So no, it's just your ego, gremlin, whatever you want to call it, kicking into high gear.
Yeah.
Judy here. It's sort of like taking your power back, isn't it?
It absolutely 100% is.
Mm. And it's critical with those first two questions, like, is it true, and can you absolutely know it's true? You have to be able to say, well, no, it's not absolutely true, for you to then sort of take your power back.
Yeah, you know, like not acknowledging that there's a problem.
Mm.
How do we absolutely know that's true? We don't, because we don't know what they're thinking. They might be thinking, even if they don't say it to anybody else, like, oh, this is a problem. This really is not comfortable that this is happening, and I don't know how to deal with this woman, so we're going to do a cover-up. Or whatever they're doing, even if they don't think they're doing a cover-up, we don't know what's truly going on for them. We don't. So we can't know what's true.
And then when we do the turnaround, we then ask ourselves the four questions all over again after the turnaround? Is that the way you do it?
No, you don't need to. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, once you do the turnaround, you might pretty well be complete. This is another good thing if you do it with someone out loud. Sometimes you don't see the obvious turnaround. You think you've replaced a couple of words. Sally doesn't care about me. How about Sally does care about me? Or Gina doesn't care about, I don't care about myself. If you start plugging not just different pronouns in there, but just playing with different words, pretty soon you'll come up with a few different things that hit home. And sometimes you can't see the turnaround that's really it, and somebody else can for you if you're doing it out loud.
Well, as heavy as it sounds, have fun with all this. Alrighty.
Okay, have a great week, everybody.
Well, thank you.
Bye. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.